Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Dr. Bo Bruce.
For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. This is the word of the Lord. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I certainly get pretty worried when I hear Jesus talk like this. He said things in this passage like, by no means enter the kingdom of heaven, be in danger of hellfire, cast into prison. The last few weeks we've spent much time on what's right and what's wrong, on not judging your brother. And right now I'm pretty busy judging myself, seeing and feeling the flames of hell lapping at my feet. How about you? And if that isn't enough, let's hear some excerpts from the stuff we just read, including the rest of some of chapter 5 and 6, the passage we read in Matins just a moment ago from St. Matthew's Gospel. And I recommend you read through this whole part. This is the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew sometime this week. So we already have, by no means enter the kingdom of heaven, be in danger of hellfire, cast into prison. And then we have the parts here about, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. He says that you should not swear falsely, for anything else is from the evil one. We heard earlier, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but not to resist an evil person, and instead turn the other cheek. That yes, we should love our neighbor, but that we should also love our enemies. And we hear that when we give alms, when we pray, we should do those things in secret. That's a lot of harsh words from our Savior, and they certainly get me worried. And then the way this passage all started off, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What exactly does that mean? And what are we supposed to do in order to actually exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Well, the scribes and the Pharisees cared about the outward appearance of what they were doing. And Jesus tells us that what God cares about is the inward motivation of what we do. There's a quote attributed to C.S. Lewis that integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. And I like that. It's a very good quote, but I think we can go one step further, if you'll permit me, and not being too presumptuous by trying to improve upon that virtuoso of words. I think that we could say that righteousness is doing the right thing even when only God is watching. This is the message that Jesus is delivering in this section of the Sermon on the Mount. Righteousness is doing the right thing even when only God is watching. Doing the right thing when others are watching, that is what the scribes and Pharisees did, and they had the reward. What we are called to do is to do the right thing even when only God is watching. But you may ask, why should we even do the right thing? We've certainly spent a lot of time talking about what is right and what is wrong, and we certainly do not ascribe to a view of morality that is relativistic in our church. And nevertheless, we shouldn't do the right thing merely because it's right in and of itself. In fact, we know how hard it is to figure out the inherent rightness and wrongness of something, especially in our modern world. We can't just sometimes listen to our consciousness. It can mislead us. We can't just follow the principles of the field of ethics. So we need something else to guide us in the why to do the right thing. Well, should we do it because we want to avoid hellfire? Jesus is certainly threatening us with that. And yes, that is a benefit of doing the right thing. But to do so only because of that is to live your life in fear rather than the joy that Jesus Christ promises to us. And luckily, we have a shadow of the answer right here in the readings that we made. Jesus said, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." Let's unpack that for a moment and see how this can guide us in the way to do the right, why to do the right thing. First, if, as we know, in the light of Christ's resurrection, that what we do at this altar is commune with God, with Jesus Christ himself, we are being told that we cannot commune with God until we are right with one another. And the entire goal of our Christian life is to be in ever closer communion with God and thereby achieve, by grace, what God is by nature, to become more godlike. To achieve that goal, Jesus tells us we must first be at peace with our neighbors. And inwardly, truly at peace. So that outward part of being in communion with our brother and at peace with our brother, but also inwardly, truly at peace. Not just a show, something really at peace. Not angry in our hearts, even though we say everything is all right. Not lusting after our neighbor's spouse or his or her stuff, even though we don't do anything to act on it. Because only then can we commune with God. Only then will we exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees and be able to truly be the presence of Jesus to those around us and bring those around us into closer communion with him. To do this, we need to go beyond the golden rule that Jesus gives at the beginning of the 7th chapter of Matthew, right after these passages that we just read. That golden rule, you've heard it many times before, but this is what it in context says. Whatever you want men to do for you or do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Well, that's just the beginning. And this is especially true in a society where, again, we find people trying to twist Jesus' words to mean, treat me how I want to be treated, even if my path is leading me straight to hell. But it's also the beginning because Jesus himself says, this is the law and the prophets. That is indeed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. They love the law. They love the prophets. And don't misunderstand me. We have to do that too. We have to have the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, not their smug, show-offy self-righteousness, but their righteousness. And that righteousness is the true devotion and love in following the law and prophets given by God himself to us as a blessing and a wonderful gift. Only when we have that can we then exceed it. And when we exceed it, we need to move on to, let's say, a platinum rule. Do unto others how God does unto you. That is what Christ is trying to get at today in his message. God does not get angry without cause. God turns the other cheek, even when we sin. It says in Micah, "Who is a God like you, removing wrongdoings and passing over ungodliness to the remnant of his inheritance?" God does not keep his anger as a witness, for he delights in mercy. Christ is the faithful bridegroom of the church, who he loves faithfully. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. God doesn't require an eye for an eye. Otherwise, we would all be destroyed, as it says in Psalm 130, "If you, O Lord, should mark transgression, O Lord, who could stand?" And God loves his enemies. St. Paul says in Romans, "For if when we were enemies, that is of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life." Jesus is calling us to be more like God. Jesus is calling us really to do unto others how God does unto you. Leave today with that mission, and you will grow closer to your neighbor and show them the love of God, which can do nothing but draw them into closer communion with their Creator and Savior. Let's pray. Almighty God, may we grow ever closer to you so that our minds, our hearts, and bodies may be inwardly transformed by your grace, so that we can act to all around us as you act towards us, with unending forgiveness, undying faithfulness, and endless love, and thereby bring your good creation and all of mankind who you love into closer communion with us and with you. Almighty and eternal Father, we ask this through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who with you and all holy and life-giving Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.